From Peoria Public Radio, this is Out and About. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Suzette Boulay with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. This week we're talking with Josh Cox, Exhibitions Coordinator at the Peoria Art Guild. Their exhibit features works by Mel Cook and Angela Ines Baldus. It runs through April 30th. Josh, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
And I thought we'd start by talking about the exhibit of works by Mel Cook. She is a painter, but she also incorporates other elements into her works, things like rope and stickers and other materials. What is the intent behind working these other materials into her pieces?
Well, Mel describes her paintings as sarcastic yet sincere. And so she paints still lives and portraits, very traditional type of painting that focuses on objects, but yet by incorporating things that aren't painterly, that aren't traditionally painterly, she makes the viewer question kind of that genre, makes them think about, well, I'm looking at a painting of an object, but it's kind of messy. Maybe doesn't look like an object so much, so you're more aware of the act of looking at something.
So then how does the incorporation of these additional materials impact the way viewers perceive and interact with the pieces? Have you had a chance, as people have taken in the exhibit, to get a sense of how that changes their experience of the work?
Yes. Viewers can look at the beautiful imagery, the bright colors, the thick impasto paint, and they can appreciate the imagery. But then as they get closer, they start to realize the materiality of the paintings as well. And so they see the thick color and the rope and the stickers and the embroidery and the thick textures, and they can appreciate more than just the image. Now they can look at the physicality of the painting as well. And so there's a different experience when you stand back 10 feet and look at the painting, and then you get up close and you've got another painting to look at.
Is part of the intent here to make the viewer more aware of the painting as a physical object and not just as a visual representation of something else?
I think that's exactly right. Artists, especially painters, no longer have to be tied to painting things that look super realistic. They're free to experiment with the form and make a painting that is an object and is a thing rather than a representation of a thing.
And I was wondering if your artists have a chance to have a Q&A with the audience or a way to explain some of their works.
Well, during the opening reception, the artists are always available to meet guests and visitors and talk one-on-one with the work. And we had a really lively opening reception. A lot of people came through talking to the artists, really appreciated the work. As the exhibitions coordinator, I also sit down with the artists and talk to them about their work. Try to write up an interpretation of the work that I can then share with visitors.
I also had a chance to see Angela Ines Baldus's work, and I thought it was fascinating when she said she doesn't tell stories just to tell stories in her paintings. She said, I don't try to tell my stories. I tell other people's stories. Talk about that.
Yeah, she tells stories that aren't hers, but that she relates to. She told me it was kind of like when you drive down the highway and you see a memorial for someone, you know, a car crash or something, and you maybe didn't know anybody involved in that, but it still connects with you as a human. And so when you kind of experience somebody else's history or memorial, it makes you aware of your own mortality, your own history, a sense of rebirth. And so she really connects to these stories in a very personal kind of way, even if they're not based upon actual events.
So can you give us an example of one work that really accomplishes that? Because I think that's kind of that might be an abstract concept, mm-hmm. but is there a piece in the show that does a really good job of representing that?
My favorite painting in the show is called In the Family, and it's this portrait of some family sitting around a park bench or a picnic table outside. I don't know who they are, why they're looking at the camera, but to me it really grabs me and makes me think about my family history. It makes me question, you know, what was my grandpa like when he was a young man, and really connects with me and personal history.
I thought her works were very personal, too. One that got me was GFBFF.
Sure.
Explain that one.
I don't know. I don't have a GF or a BFF. maybe men, we don't. We call them different, my bros or something. But yeah, just there's a real sense of camaraderie and intimacy between these people. And it's painted a very happy, very cheerful, very loving kind of picture. And I don't know who these people are, but it gives me that feeling, too. It makes me want to call my brother up and go get a beer.
Well, what I thought when I saw it, when it was GFBFF, there are these gals at the beach. And you see the palm trees, and they're together on vacation in their swimming suits. And I thought, they're with the BFFs, the GFs, having a good time on vacation. So I do think she has a wonderful way of making us relate in a very personal way.
Very human experiences that we all have. Yeah, I agree.
That's an interesting question, because any of us, if we go and we look at a painting of a group of people, most of the time we have no idea who these people are. We have no idea what their relationship is. So from a technique perspective, how does a painter go about imbuing that painting with qualities that make those relationships or make those stories come out and be obvious to us as viewers, since we don't have that story.
I think the way Angela did it is by eliminating a lot of the kind of the very specific details. And her paintings are very loose and very fluid and very gestural. And so when I look at them, I sense her painting them and her having these feelings as she paints them. Because they're kind of loose and semi-realistic, semi-abstract, it lets me fill in a lot of the details myself.
I noticed that their works are very complementary. How did you choose both of these women?
One of our board members, Bill Conger, knew both of these painters, and he kind of saw a similarity in their work, an approach to painting traditionally, but yet at the same time in a very contemporary, kind of ironic way. Painting, again, paintings that are very traditional portraits, families, still lives, but in a way that's totally new and totally contemporary and not traditional at the same time.
And so then once you have the decision to create exhibits around these two artists, is there a process that you go through with the two of them to try to make sure that you're picking works from each of those artists that somehow complement or want to talk to each other?
That varies with the artist. Some artists prefer to work together. Mel and Angela worked together, and they both kind of sat down and looked at their paintings and made those decisions on their own, and I trusted them to make those. Other times, yeah, the guild will get involved and kind of sit down and shape the shows a little more.
Now, I know you had an opening reception for both of these exhibits, I guess about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you've had a chance to talk to people about the exhibits. What kind of feedback are you getting back from your patrons, or what are you hearing people say about these works?
I'm hearing good things. People are excited about it. People loved looking at the work. They liked how fresh it felt and how vibrant it felt, and they were able to really understand it. Some of the shows we have are a bit conceptual, a bit intellectual. I think this is an emotional show, and so you could think about it as much as you wanted to, but you could also just sit there and look and feel. I think people really, really responded to that.
And who actually hangs the pieces? Another thing that struck me about both of these artists is that there was a nice sense of space between each of the works. You really had a chance to grab each of the works in without having another piece of work 2 or 3 inches next to that.
Yeah, they did a great job. The artists hung the show. I was there on hand, ready to help out, ready to step in and say, spread these out a bit more. I hardly did anything. It was an easy day.
Well, and can you talk a little bit as well about the decision of how to physically place the two exhibits? Because as I understand it, you've got one upstairs, you've got one downstairs, but you could have also arranged it in such a way that you had the two artists intermingled. What's the intent behind how you physically laid out the pieces of art?
It is a little bit tricky because of the two galleries and the fact that the two shows do work together at the same time, but they are two independent exhibits. And you're intended as the viewer to walk up and down and make these connections between the two artists' work, but we still wanted the artists to have their own, create their own experience in the galleries.
Speaking of exhibits, what's on the horizon for the Peoria Art Guild for some summer exhibits?
We've got a great juried show that we're just getting going on. It's called Urban Underground. It's going to be about kind of secret city, kind of what goes on behind the closed doors. Think of the Warehouse District and maybe some older history that's a little shady or a little slinky, or kind of poking into the grit of the city a little bit. It's going to be an international juried show. We're inviting artists to talk about that issue. And then we're going to have a big summer party and have the work.
We've been talking with Josh Cox about two exhibits, Between the Void, featuring works by Mel Cook, and Memoriam, with work by Angela Inez Baldus. They're both on display until April 30th at the Peoria Art Guild. Josh, thank you again for being with us.
Thank you very much.
And Nathan, the First Friday's Art Gallery tours are tonight from 5 to 9 p.m. Dozens of local artists are opening their studio doors where patrons can purchase one-of-a-kind original art, talk to the artists, view artist demonstrations, all while enjoying live music and refreshments. First Fridays are becoming quite the happening, so plan to stop on by.
And Bradley University's Music Department presents a faculty recital by guitarist Michael Hull. The program includes works from the Renaissance to the modern era, including the Bach Cello Suite No. 1, two pieces by Heitor Villa-Lobos, and two of Hall's original compositions. One of those is a world premiere. The concert is Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock in the Dingledine Music Center.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
And you can learn more about Peoria Public Radio when you visit us on the web at peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin. This is Out and About.